This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
So I have to tell you, it's really a miracle that I made it here tonight. There was PTA tonight. I had a 7:20 and 7:30 appointment. Last week was also PTA, and this week is also PTA. So last week was a late PTA, so I made the show a little later. This week I figured 7:20, 7:30 appointments, I should have known better. So I was in Far Rockaway, it was 8:08, and I was on my way back. So I'm good with, if I take the exact same route that I've taken every single day, then I'm pretty good not getting lost. However, the second I veer off to a route that I never went on, I'm in big trouble. Sure enough, on my way back, the garbage trucks were having the route, because since yesterday was Chagam, now the garbage trucks were out. The entire street was blocked off, so I had a decision, either wait behind a garbage truck or make a left. And so I made a left, and I was immediately lost in Far Rockaway, ki'ilu I was in Wyoming. All of a sudden, the car in front of me stops. The guy runs out, and he opens up his trunk. He's looking for washer fluid. I stopped. I honked him. I said, come over here. Eli Rubin from North Woodmere. I said, I'm lost. He said, how are you lost? You're a block away from Darche. I said, believe me, I'm lost. I'm lost. He said, just make a right. He said, forget it. Just follow me. Just follow me. And he navigated me back here safely. Baruch Hashem. Okay, so here we are. We have very nice oilam tonight. So obviously it has nothing to do with the food, because we always have good food. It must be the topic of death, which is a very popular topic here. Word must have gotten out that I'm speaking about burial and death again, and people cannot resist. I know Adar is coming, Mishnechnas Adar, Marvin Basimcha, and people figure this would put them in the proper frame of mind, as these Chadoshim are ahead of us. This year we have two Adars, so I guess we have more weeks to talk about Kvura. Two parts here, exactly. Okay. So let's start with the following. Last week we learned that clearly being buried in Eretz Yisrael is an important inyan, to the extent where even though one is not exhumed a body, and we haven't explained yet why can't you disinter a body, even though halakhically one is not allowed to, and we'll discuss this week what the reason for that is, but even though you're not allowed to exhume a body and move a body to Eretz Yisrael is mutter, so clearly there's an important inyan and there's value to being buried in Eretz Yisrael. We spoke out last week with Henkin, discouraged the practice of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. He felt that first a person has to worry about, the meat and potatoes, the ikarim of Judaism, and then they could worry about things which are maybe a chumrah or a nyanim or something, above and beyond. So let's begin this week with the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. I got an email from my good friend in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yitzchak Yeager, who is the author of a very valuable series in Halacha called Guidelines. You ever see the Svarim Guidelines? They're like 20, 30, many, many Svarim, very chashuva Svarim. So he emailed me, Rabbi Glatz, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says? I didn't know what Rabbi Yaakov says. So he emailed me the biography of Rabbi Yaakov. Now, whenever you see a biography, it's not what Rabbi Yaakov wrote. It's not like a psak Halacha. This is a story, so you sort of take it for what it is. That Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says he was not Sivarotzoin for those who wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, meaning he did not support the idea of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. And it's one thing for someone to say they don't support it, but we in our shul a few months ago, we went to Rabbi Yaakov's kever, right? Rabbi Yaakov bought a burial spot here in Queens, and he was not buried in Eretz Yisrael. He was buried here in the United States, and he did not approve of the practice for three reasons. Number one, says Rabbi Yaakov, halonas hames. The mess is kept overnight. The mess is not treated in the proper dignity. And then Rabbi Yaakov said something that seems not to be relevant at all, b'zman hazeh, and that is, apparently in Israel, at some point, maybe in the early days of the state, they would actually drain the body of blood before it was brought in. And that was a nivel hames. So Rabbi Yaakov says, you want to be mechabed the mes by bringing the mes to Eretz Yisrael, but the whole procedure was a disgrace for the dead body, and therefore Rabbi Yaakov did not approve of it. Clearly, that's not something to be concerned with today. There's no such practice, not in America, not in Israel, to drain the body. Number two, says Rabbi Yaakov, I'm just going to say it, don't attack me, don't challenge me. I'm just telling you what it says in the Sefer. Rabbi Yaakov says, being buried in Eretz Yisrael supports the notion of Zionism, and therefore he did not support it. Okay, and we'll just leave it as it is. And finally, the third reason. No, this is Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, okay? And the third reason Rabbi Yaakov gave, and a very interesting reason, is that Rabbi Yaakov says there's a mitzvah on the children to visit the parent, the deceased, to go during the Yimei Slichais, during the Yimei Hadin. And this is a hesoiros for the children to do tshuva. And therefore, if the parent is buried far away, the children will not be able to be mekayim this mitzvah frequently. And therefore, Rabbi Yaakov said he personally bought a burial spot here in America for the above-mentioned reasons. It's hard to believe, though, Rabbi Yisai, it's hard to believe that these reasons are relevant. Once I know, hard to believe these reasons are relevant practically. Bizman Hazeh, the first reason of Nivel HaMeis, you know, nowadays 2000 and what year are we in? 18 still, right? They have the procedure down pretty well. You know, if somebody's going to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, they make sure they get on the plane rather quickly. The planes are refrigerated. In Yerushalayim, the Chevra Kadisha doesn't fool around. Go straight to the Beis HaKvaros. So it's pretty seamless. Regarding supporting the Zionistic movement, you know, we're basically 70 years later. Even in Bnei Brak, on a bris, on Yom HaAtzmaot, they're not saying Tachnon, even though originally in the Kodach HaZoynish, you know, even on a day that there was a bris, they would say Tachnon. So that means, you know, these political reasons are basically in the back. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they're in the rear view mirror. And regarding the third reason. Regarding the third reason, that there's a mitzvah for children to visit the graves of their parents. Is there really a mitzvah for children to visit the graves of the parents? Which mitzvah is that? Which one of the 613 mitzvahs is that? It's not. Where in the Gemara does it say that there's a mitzvah to visit the parents' grave? There's no such. It's not mentioned in the Gemara. Where in the Medrash does it say it's a mitzvah to visit a parent's grave? It's not mentioned. Fact, there's a very interesting tshuva from Moshe. Rav Moshe got a tshuva from Rav Yitzchak Broidi, Yardea Chelik Beis Simon Kuf Samach Beis, that the parent was buried in Akron. Where's Akron? Wow, what a knowledgeable audience, okay? So, and the children lived in New York. Where's New York? Okay. And there you go. Good audience tonight. Okay. The holiday cheer. Okay, so and the children lived in New York, and the children found it very difficult to travel to Akron for the yard site or for whatever other occasion, and they wanted to move the parent from Akron to New York so they could be able to visit Kever Avos. Says Rav Moshe, you know, sorry to burst your bubble, but visiting a parent's kever is not kibud hames, it's not kibud avaim. You are not honoring your parent by visiting their grave. It makes no difference to them. You do come, you don't come. It's not kavod to the parent. Says Rav Moshe, it's convenience to the children. The children want to go. So you're making your own life easier, but you're not honoring your parent by bringing them close to you so that you could go visit them. Says Rav Moshe, Be'etzem, going to the HaKever of Kever Avos is not a Chiyuv. There is no Chiyuv to go to Kever Avos. Moreover, not only is there no Chiyuv, the Magen Avraham in Siman Tav Kuf Nun Tesiv Katan Tezvav brings Arizal. The Arizal says one should not go to cemeteries, period. That's a Shita Arizal. By the way, Divriya also holds that way. Then unless you're a Tzaddik and a Makobo, you don't go to the cemetery. So, Bechlal, now I once spoke to... There you go. Anyway, the Vilna Gaon also was... What? Yeah, exactly. So, the Magen Avraham brings down from that Rizal that one should not go to cemetery. So says Rav Moshe, to say... What reason? For what? What are you going, you know?
Yourself or
we don't know. Arizal says something, we don't know exactly what his rationale is. Either you're contracting klipos, you're contracting koyach atumah. That's the shita Arizal. Says Rav Moshe, even though the minhag ha'olam is to go to kever avos, but to say that you're allowed to move a mess in order to go to kever avos, why don't you think the other way? Maybe there's no chiv to go, maybe you shouldn't be going. So even though the minhag is to go, but you're now to move the kever to make your life easier because you want to go to the kever. Says Rav Moshe, loy bishvil kol kavod hanidme la'adam matirim lefanos. So Rabbi Yaakov is saying you shouldn't be buried in Eretz Yisrael because then the children can't be mekayim the mitzvah of visiting the parents' kever. Rav Moshe would say it's not even a mitzvah. Rav Moshe is buried in Eretz Yisrael, but that's a story in and of itself. Okay, there's a lot of information about that, but we'll see if it's mentioned in today's share. If you want to know more, My good friend Rabbi Elazar Cohen has very interesting information about Rabbi Moshe's kever that he called me about this week. But let's stick to the Mar Mekoymos today. And that is, again, Rav Moshe seems not to really take seriously the mitzvah of visiting kever. Otherwise, he doesn't. Now, I would say that it's not really a machloikis between Rav Yaakov and Rav Moshe. You know, if you want to know, is there an Indian to go visit kever? Otherwise, it's machloikis, Rav Moshe and Rav Yaakov. Rav Yaakov says there's a mitzvah, and Rav Moshe says there's no mitzvah. I would assume they both agree. They both agree there's no mitzvah in the Torah to visit kever otherwise. They both agree there's no mitzvah midrabanon to visit kever otherwise. And they both agree there's no halacha to visit kever otherwise. But I would assume that they would both agree that when a child goes to visit kever avos, it's ma'ayra them. Maybe it's ma'ayra them to do tshuva. It's ma'ayra introspection. It brings up the memory of the parents, which could inspire somebody to improve their ways. So I assume it's a nice thing to do. Maybe it's a way of showing the family your kavod to a parent. So I would assume everyone would agree it's a davar tov, and I would assume everyone would agree it's not a chiyuv and it's not a halacha. But be it as it may, this is just to get the inyan clear. Now there's another interesting shaila. Yeah. If you remember last what?
Rabbi Yaakov didn't want to be matriya.
That could be, but that's not one of the reasons that's mentioned here, right? That's what they say, right? That's what they say. Okay, last week we spoke at the Tshuva of the Maalbach. Maalbach said that even though you're allowed to exhume a body and bring it to Eretz Yisrael, if the person explicitly said they don't want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, you can't move them. If a person expressed displeasure about being moved to Eretz Yisrael, and they just said like they don't hold of it, then you are allowed to move them to Eretz Yisrael. That was what we learned last week. So there was a great philanthropist, maybe one of the all-time great philanthropists, Moses Montefiore, who is greatly responsible for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael today. He actually traveled to Eretz Yisrael and lived a good chunk of his life there. And at the end of his life, he requested to go back to England, and he died and was buried in England in Kent. In fact, when I spoke in London last year, so we gave a shiur about Rav David Nieto, and so I wanted to go to Rav David Nieto Shul. The name of the shul is the Beavis Mark Synagogue. So I went to the synagogue, and in the front row, there's a little plaque that says, here is the kisei of Moses Montefiore. So he went to his seat. Anyway, Moses Montefiore was buried in Kent, and a lot of Jewish activists wanted to reinter him and bring him to burial in Eretz Yisrael. A number of Gedolim have been brought to Eretz Yisrael, most notably the Chida, Rabbi Meir Shapiro, Rabbi Menachem Zemba. Okay. Okay, so the question was brought to Rav Moshe, are you allowed to move the body of Moses Montefiore and bring him to Kfura in Eretz Yisrael? And Rav Moshe said, absolutely not. You're not allowed to do it. Why? He says, you're not allowed to exhume a body. It's usher to exhume a body. Says Rav Moshe, he says, Kvar Kosa. Now he says a very interesting thing. He says, I'm not going to explain at length why we're not allowed to move Moses Montefiore. Because whenever somebody asks you a shaila, if you give them a long answer, then they're going to think, oh, it's taka, a long answer. It's a whole shakla v'taya. Oh, that's the Rav's opinion is it's aser. But the fact that he gave me a whole long answer means there's a shakla v'taya. There must be another viewpoint. Let me ask another rabbi. So any time that something is a davar chamor, you have to say, aser. Why? None of your business. Because once you start explaining, then people are going to think, then, you know, there's something to talk about. So sometimes it's not correct to get involved in a long answer. And Rav Moshe says, in this situation, I don't want to start giving reasons. I don't want to start giving explanations. Then you're going to think, yesh mala daber, ein mala daber. There's nothing to talk about. He says there's an iser of pinoy hames, which is applies. You're now to move a body, even to Eretz Yisrael. The Shulchan Aruch says you are allowed to move a body to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Moshe is a very interesting thing. The children are allowed to bring the body to Eretz Yisrael. But what if I decide one day, you know, there's a nice rabbi buried in Queens. I think I want to bring him to Eretz Yisrael. So I'll go to the cemetery, dig him up, bring him to El Al. El Al says, what do you got over here? I got, Chashev HaRav. I think he should go to Eretz Yisrael. The Shulchan Aruch says, there's an Indian to bring bodies to Eretz Yisrael. Can you imagine what kind of trafficking you're going to have? You know, people deciding on their own. Only the children are authorized to be mafana, amazed, to honor the mess, to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. Says Rav Moshe, to bring Moses Montefiore to Eretz Yisrael. Why Moses Montefiore? He's a great guy. He's bigger than the Marami Rotenberg. He's bigger than the Chassam Sofer. He's bigger than Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He's bigger than Prim Gaon. All these Gedolim are buried in Europe. So why are you bringing him and not them? It's a bezoyan to the Gedolei Yisrael who are buried in Chutz Arts. Dafka to pick a philanthropist and a great man and somebody who we have a lot of Hakar Satoiv to. But on the totem pole of Chashivos, he's not as choshev as Gedolei Yisrael. Therefore, it's a bizoyon for the Gedolei Yisrael to bring Moses Montefiore and not to bring other Gedolim. Plus, says Reb Moshe, Moses Montefiore did not want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Says Reb Moshe, you know, Moses Montefiore, if he wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, then when he was like 100 years old, he should have said, okay, I'm an old man, I'm going to stay in Eretz Yisrael, die in Eretz Yisrael, be buried in Eretz Yisrael. But when he was already a Zakein Muflug, he decided to pack out of Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz La'aretz because he wanted to be buried in Chutz La'aretz. That's akin to somebody expressing a clear opinion. They don't want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, they want to be buried in Chutz La'aretz. And then, like the Maubach said, if somebody clearly expresses their desire to be buried in Chutz La'aretz, then we cannot violate their opinion. It says, Ramosha, my opinion, you have to leave him there. His desire was to remain there, and you can't violate that. So, first of all, we see a few things. We see that if you want to bring someone to Eretz Yisrael, you need to be their child, and you can't violate their will. But it does seem that even though it's brought, I'll tell you the truth, I saw quoted in the Journal of Contemporary Halacha, Volume 36, but I couldn't get my hands on it, that Rav Moshe was not in favor of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, and that the reason why he was buried in Eretz Yisrael is because one time when a certain gadol was buried in Chutz Aretz, Rav Moshe expressed that, well, you're burying a gadol but you saw in Chutz Aretz? So they felt that Rav Moshe held that only gedolim should be buried in Eretz Yisrael, and that's what is brought over there, why Rav Moshe was buried in Eretz Yisrael. But it's hard to believe that that's the case, because there's a new sefer out from Rav Moshe, the Masoras Moshe. Actually, they came out with Volume 3 now. This is Volume 2. There's a fascinating shaila. Okay, listen to the following scenario. Rav Moshe gets a phone call. There's a guy who bought family plot in one place in America. Let's say, pick a place on Long Island. Wellwood. Okay, they vote on Wellwood. Okay. So he bought a plant in Wellwood. Yeah? His whole his parents were buried on the Jackie. And during his lifetime, every time he went to Eretz Yisrael, he came back, he said, you know what? It's a mamsha davar chashav to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. But he didn't write in his tzava where he wanted to be buried. So we know he bought in Wellwood. His parents are in the Jackie. And he expressed that it's a davar chashav to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And now the person passes away. We don't know where to bury him. Where should we bury him? The family says, should we maybe bury him in Eretz Yisrael? Should we bury him near his parents? Should we bury him where he bought karka? Like, what's the strongest indication of what the right thing to do is? Says Rav Moshe, what a person bought has no value in halacha. He bought real estate. Maybe he bought it for a guy he didn't like in shul. I don't know. We don't know who he bought it for, or even if he bought it for himself. Maybe he bought it for the guy who didn't invite him, right? We don't know exactly what... The guy bought land. Should we move him to his parents? No, you don't have to bring him to his parents. There's an inyan, there's a halacha, you're allowed to exhume somebody to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. It's a davar chashev to bring him to Eretz Yisrael. You bury him in Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact his parents are an A, despite the fact that he bought B, you take him to Eretz Yisrael. To say Rav Moshe didn't hold of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, I mean, clearly, he holds it, overrides where you bought karka, and it overrides where your parents are buried. Okay. So this shir I'm doing backward. Usually I like to do the shir forward. Start off in the Gemara, start then the Rishonim. So today we went backward. We started with the storybooks. Then we went to the Tshuvas of Rav Moshe. Now we're going to the Beis Yosef. What's the reason a person, you're not to exhume a body from their grave? What's the reason for that? Why can't you exhume a body? So we would say, and the Geshe HaChaim says, that... it's nivel hames. It's nivel hames. You can take out a body. You know, he's rima v'toileya. He's being consumed. He's decomposing. His, he doesn't look the same as... he's not all made up. You know, the person is in a very, very unseemly state. It's a nivel hames to dig up the body. That's what we would have said, and there is such a svara. But the Beis Yosef brings a totally different reason. Bes Yosef says it's disturbing for the mace, because the mess thinks that he's being summoned to the Bezen Shamala. Because the last time, you know, somebody ever, you know, shook up the mess, where did the mess go? They stood in front of the Kisei HaKavod to give a din v'cheshbon. They stood by the Bezen Shamala. They got grilled. No, you deal in business honestly. You're kaveitim la'toyra, nasasim asad la'muna. You know, they scared the living daylights out of the mess the last time anybody ever shook up the mess. And now all of a sudden, the mess feels the shovel. And nacham ala din v'cheshbon. It gets the mess very nervous. In fact, the Beis Yosef brings down by Shmuel, where, you know, he said, why'd you scare me to summon me, right? He was summoned with necromancy, and he got scared because he thought he was being summoned again to the Bezen Shamayla. So the Beis Yosef brings a svara that the reason you're not exhuming a body is because it is very disturbing to the mace. He says, first of all, you're mavalbel the mace, and the best is mesyareim ibnei yoyim hadin. He thinks he's being summoned to court again. So basically, some mafarshim actually break up these two reasons, that one is bilbul, stam, it's confusing. Doesn't know where he is, you know. He's used to, the Beis Yosef quotes a pasuk, yashanti az yanuachli. You know how there's an expression in the world to rest in peace? You know, usually we think that's not a Jewish concept. You know, when you rest in peace. You go to Olam Haba, and you're in the Masifta Durakia, and you're going from Madrid to Madrid. There is a concept. There is such a concept. You want somebody's, it's a time of menucha. It's a time, and you don't want to disturb their menucha. There is such a concept. And there's also a concept, you're scaring them that they're being summoned to din. And there's a concept of nivol hames. However, comes Rabbi Chiel Michal Tukachinsky, who wrote the classic work on Avelos and Kfura called Gesher HaChayim. And he brings a tshuvas noid bihuda, that when it comes to atzamois, after the flesh has decomposed, he says, in his opinion, these reasons don't apply. First of all, once all the flesh has decomposed, it's not nivul hames. Nivul hames is when you could recognize the person and the person doesn't look kempt. But if you can't even recognize the person because the person is a skull, is just atzamois, that's not nivul hames. And he says it would be mutter to reenter a person once they're atzamois. What about the svar of charadas hadin? He says once the body decomposes, the guf is not afraid anymore. Maybe he can't be summoned anymore to the din, or he already suffered whatever his fate would be. And the Noid B'Yehuda has a tshuva, and this is I bring on the sheet over here in number 7, that once the body decomposes, the svaras of nivel hames do not apply. The svaras of charadas hadin, and usually when gedolim are moved, they wait until the body has already decomposed. Okay. And what? So we mentioned last week from the Zohar, the Zohar's opinion was, the Zohar didn't hold of going to Eretz Yisrael because you're metame the land. That's why the Zohar says, Yosef was makbid until, he waited until he's only at Samus, right? Okay. Therefore, but
and the smaller ones that went by the size of the hippo, and that's how big it was made.
You'll see them there, they're all there. So we're going to see that there are cases where Gamliel had a spot where they would put the body until it was Nisakel, and once it was Nisakel, then all the Atzamis went into one central location. It's a nivel for the mess itself. Nivel Hames. Nivel Hames is a lav. You know, it's part of Loi Solon. Okay. There's a tshuva.
Aren't you burying today in America at least in caskets? So it's disgusting, but it's a nivel for today. You're burying today in caskets.
Right.
Years ago, you buried like the other
swell. Right. But ultimately, the body decomposes, no?
Yes.
But it takes longer?
What?
So, what's the issue? It takes longer?
Yes, the number one, it takes longer.
It takes longer. I think they do it for sanitary reasons. Okay, so basically though, there is an Indian to be very nice as well. In fact, in this tshuva over here, Rabbi Isai, in number 8, there's a very interesting tshuva. The Rebbe, the Admir of Karlin, was Nifter in America, and his opinion was, he let it be known that as soon as he passes away, he wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. But some of the Hasidim wanted to be ma'akev. They didn't want the Rebbe to go to Eretz Yisrael. And the Shaila was brought to then one of the Poiske Hadar, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Har Tzvi in Yoredeah, Sven Reish Ayin Dalad. So he brings from the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch that the Halacha is that even if someone's buried already in Chutz La'aretz, you're allowed to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. Kol Shekein, someone who wasn't even buried yet, the Karlina Rebbe, so he wasn't even buried, of course we're going to bring him to Eretz Yisrael. It's a big mitzvah, it's a big inyan. Especially he said he wanted to. If he would have said he didn't want to, you can't violate his ratzon. But he said he wanted to, and therefore based on that psak, they followed the psak of the Har Tzvi, and they brought the Rebbe of Karlin to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so now we're done with Eretz Yisrael.
As a mace,
they didn't bury him alive. They waited until he
people that I know that went to Eretz Yisrael a day or two before, they knew where they're going, so they put him on a plane and went to Eretz Yisrael.
Uh-huh. No. He was already messed.
Where was he buried?
I don't know. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, now the shah is like this. So there's an Indian to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. What about Yerushalayim? Now this is twofold. Twofold is, if there's an Indian to be buried in Yerushalayim, should a person try to? Meaning, is it worth the extra? Is it more value to be buried in Yerushalayim? That's Arshtins. And Svetins, if it's Taka, more Chash to be buried in Yerushalayim. Okay, we're going to come to that, right? Could you exhume a body that's buried in Eretz Yisrael, outside of Yerushalayim, to bring the body? If Yerushalayim is a more of a davar chashuv, the same way Hakol Malin LeEretz Yisrael, some places can say the reason why you let exhume a body from Chutzar to Eretz Yisrael is Hakol Malin LeEretz Yisrael. A husband could force a wife, or vice versa, to go to Eretz Yisrael. Well, the halacha is Hakol Malin LeYerushalayim. If you're living in Chveis, you're living in Haifa, you could force your spouse to come to Yerushalayim. Well, if you could do that b'chayav, maybe you could do that l'achar misa. Maybe we could start digging up, you know, outside of Yerushalayim and bringing them to Yerushalayim. This was the question that was raised and brought to the attention of the Tzitz Eliezer. And he says the following. Somebody was asked the Rambam. Look at number 9. So the Tzitz Eliezer brings down. Someone asked the Rambam that somebody expressed their desire to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And after the person died, the children put in effort and they brought the parent to be buried Karov LeYerushalayim. Is this a good thing? And the Rambam answered, Toiv Moed, it's a gevaldig gezach. And many Gedolei Yisrael did that. Well, says the Tzitz Eliezer, the words Toiv Moed of the Rambam include two things. Number one, it's Toiv Moed to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And number two, it's Toiv Moed to be buried Samach LeYerushalayim. Samach L'Yerushalayim. As we know, V'chein Nirahu Gam Davar Edusa Shel Gedolei Chachmei Yisrael, that many Gedolim have been buried Samach L'Yerushalayim. Now why does the Rambam write Samach L'Yerushalayim? The answer is, because you're not allowed to bring a mess into Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to be buried in Yerushalayim. That's why the Rambam says, okay. Now, says the Tzitz Eliezer, the Ramban is mashma that there's a special inyan meyucha to be buried by Yerushalayim. How do we know that? Where do we see that? So he doesn't cite the Ramban clearly. We're going to come to that in the further tshuva. But he brings many examples from the tshuvas of the Radvaz. The Radvaz was the Rav in Cairo in Egypt for 40 years. He was the Rebbe of the Arizal. And in many shailas of the Radvaz, he discusses Pinoy Hames LeYerushalayim. So why does he discuss exhuming a body to Yerushalayim? If there's no Indian of burying in Yerushalayim, the whole Indian is burying in Eretz Yisrael, why does the Ravaz always formulate his question of burying Yerushalayim? Apparently the Ravaz holds there's something special about being buried next to Yerushalayim. Now, take a look in number 10, where the Tzitz Eliezer quotes a Ramban, and the Ramban says the following. Ramban says, if you look in Aleph, on the second line, Behevesime Ramban, in the Taras HaAdon, he emphasizes the inyan of being brought up to Yerushalayim. The Ramban says, L'chaparo shaloi u'lechvoidoi, that there's a special kapara and there's a special kavod of being buried near Yerushalayim. In fact, okay, so what is that inyan? Why is there an inyan to be buried near Yerushalayim? What would be significant? Or what's the nafkamina where you're buried in Eretz Yisrael? So if you remember, the Gemara said that the whole purpose, one of the advantages of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says it, the land brings kapara. So the land brings kapara, whether you're buried in Haifa, in Eilat, in, you know, Galil, or in Yerushalayim. Why would it be mechaper more in Yerushalayim? We learned that if a person's buried in Yerushalayim, you're saved the Gilgal HaMechilos, the rolling. Why are you, so what would the advantage of Yerushalayim be? You know, if the whole point of being in Eretz Yisrael is kapara, Eretz Yisrael provides equal kapara. If it's you're saved from rolling underground, l'chayra, every area of Eretz Yisrael should be equal. We did see the Gesher Chaim brought that if someone's buried in Eretz Yisrael, you're saved from Chibur HaKever. So what difference does it make, you know, Eretz Yisrael or Yerushalayim? None of the advantages that were mentioned seem to be more advantageous in Yerushalayim. However, says the Tzitz Eliezer, since Chazal say that anyone buried in Eretz Yisrael is buried Tachas HaMizbeach, then the closer you could get to the Mokoyim HaMizbeach, says the Tzitz Eliezer, perhaps there's a more of an Indian. In other words, in order to maximize the concept of anyone who's buried in Eretz Yisrael, like being buried near the Mizbeach, perhaps the closer you could get to the Mizbeach would be preferable. And then the Tzitz Eliezer says, there's an incredible reason to be buried near Yerushalayim. It's a Targum on Shir HaShirim. Okay, and that's what we're going to see very soon. By the way, the Shevet HaLevi, Reb Shmuel Vosner, he also discusses this Indian of being buried in Yerushalayim, but he says, if Taka, there's an Indian of being buried in Yerushalayim, maybe then we could, you know, dig somebody up, exhume somebody, and bring them to Yerushalayim. So he says something fascinating. Take a look at number 11. The Shevet HaLevi says that he quotes Masechta Smachos, that Reb Shimon Elazar says, Ram Gamliel had a kever she'ula, a borrowed grave in Yavne, that they would put the mess there, and then they would bring the mess up to Yerushalayim. And the Ramban quotes it, and the Ramban, as the Tzitz Eliezer brought down, says it's a kapara and a kavod to bring him up from Eretz Yisrael to Yerushalayim. So from here we see Yerushalayim is more of a kapara, it's more of a kavod.
The Ramban himself is not buried in Yerushalayim.
How do you know?
Because he's buried in Spain. He's buried in next to Moros HaMachpelah, outside the Moros HaMachpelah. Ramban. I was there. So said his name on there.
Okay. So that now the question is like this. So if there's a milah to be buried in Yerushalayim, Rabbi, but you're not allowed to be buried in Yerushalayim. So if the milah is, so there's a milah to be buried samuch li Yerushalayim? I mean, you could make the case there's a milah to be buried in Jerusalem, but now we're going to say there's a milah to be buried near Yerushalayim. Well, then, you know, that would expand the parameters, you know. Is Beit Shemesh samuch li Yerushalayim? Is that samuch li Yerushalayim? Because now you don't have to be buried in Yerushalayim because you're not even allowed to be buried in Yerushalayim. So says the Shevet HaLevi, look in the second paragraph. Elo de'ikala medak. Da'isa b'Yerushalmi. Ein mekayim kvaros b'Yerushalayim. And it's a Tosefta. Ken la loisai l'Yerushalayim hech mishkachas la. Elamai, you're going to say Yerushalayim is lav dafka. It's samuch li Yerushalayim. He says, but if it's not b'toich hekaf chomas Yerushalayim, what's the advantage? So he could say, you know, there's a famous machloikis in Masechta Sanhedrin that you're only allowed to be ma'aber the shana in Yehuda. What's Yehuda? So Rashi says Yehuda is Yerushalayim. But the Rama says that Yehuda refers to the whole area of Yehuda. So it could be, says the Shevet HaLevi, that the whole Shevet Yehuda has a special Kedusha. What's the Kedusha? You're allowed to be ma'aber the shana there. So it could be it has special chashivos in terms of kavura. However, says the Shevet HaLevi, the truth is there's a very mystical and powerful comment of the Targum on Shir HaShirim. And based on this Targum, there would seem to be a very big inyan to get as close as possible to Yerushalayim as one can, especially to something called the Emek Yehoshaphat. But, says the Shevet HaLevi, as valuable and as chashuv it is to be buried near Yerushalayim, I would not say that there's a heter to exhume someone from elsewhere in Eretz Yisrael and bring them samach to Yerushalayim. We don't find that not in the Rambam, not in the Shul. It's not brought la halacha in any of the poskim. But I want to share with you this amazing targum. Okay. The Targum is going on a pasuk in Shir Hashim. It says, "Mi zois oilo min hamidbar." Who is this coming out of the desert? Misra pekes al doida, beseeching, banging for her beloved. Tachas hatapuach oyarticha, under the apple tree I aroused you. Shama chiblascha imecha, there your mother bore you. Shama chibla yiladascha, there the one who gave birth to you conceived you. You ever hear the expression, Mesameach Tzion bevanea, Tzion rejoices with her children. You know, in the Nevi'im it talks about Ki yolda Tzion, Tzion gave birth. So we usually understand to mean it's allegorical, it's figurative, you know. When Klal Yisrael returns to Yerushalayim, it's as if Tzion gave birth. But actually the Targum translates this very literally. You know, for a woman to give birth, that means the birthing canal opens and the child comes out of something that has been split. So what exactly, what would that mean when it comes to Yerushalayim? What, Yerushalayim is split, it opens, there's a birthing canal, and so the Targum says amazingly, yes, the day will come that Yerushalayim will literally give birth to her children. That there's a birthing canal, and it will split open and bear the Jewish people. So what's the birthing canal? What's the split? So we all know from the Nevi'im that we have a prophecy that there is an area right outside of Yerushalayim that one day will split in half, and there'll be two sides, and that is Har HaZeisim. The Nevi'im speak at length about the one day Har HaZeisim will split in half. And now what? So now that Har HaZeisim splits in half, what's going to happen? So there's an incredible Targum. Look at number 13. Amar Shlomo Navi. Shlomo the Navi said, Yechoin Mesaya Asilis Beza Tor Mishcha. In the future, Har HaZeisim, the mountain of olives, will split. And all the dead will emerge. You could have even tzaddikim buried in Golos, even the guy buried in Akron, right? They're gonna pop out of that hole. You know, all of a sudden the hole is gonna open. Okay, they're coming. Push, right? And all of a sudden, it's a big one. It's a 200-pounder. It's a 300-pounder. And it's going to be one after another, after another, and after. Tzion is going to be giving birth. It's going to be a long birth. It's going to be a painful birth. But Tzion will give birth to her children. And what about the Rishayim? Rishayaya demisu v'skabru ba'arad d'Yisrael. And the Rishayim, that Baron Eretz Yisrael, Sidon mehavayin ramyon heichma derame gvar avna bala. They're going to be thrown like a stone. Then all the residents of Eretz are going to say, what was the merit of Eretz Yisrael that is able to give birth to the number of Jews that came out of the Midbar? How many Jews came out of the Midbar? 600,000 Jews. Har HaZeisim is going to give birth to 600,000 Yidden. Say, that's a lot. It's nothing. You know, in Sfas today, how many Jews are buried in Sfas? I think there's a Messiah, 1.2 million Jews are buried there. And that's a relatively small Beis HaKvaris. Har HaZeisim is much bigger. But it does, okay, now you have to understand one thing. Umispankin arachame marho kiyomedes chamos techois tura de Sinai. Lakabo yosai raisa. It's going to be a day of mercy. That's why the Navi compares it, tachas hatapuach articha. It's compared to when mizois oila min hamidbar. The ascent out of the crevice of Har HaZeisim is going to be like the Jews standing in the midbar, standing on Har Sinai. Listen to these beautiful words. Uvahi shaita asida tzion. At that moment, tzion. Dihi iman di Yisrael. She's the mother of Klal Yisrael. Lemelad yasbina. To give birth to her children, v'yushalayim lekabla yas b'nei galusa, and Yushalayim will receive the b'nei hagalas. So says the Tzitz Eliezer, says the Shevet HaLevi, Amnam, look at the words of the Shevet HaLevi, Amnam Yeshalayim ra'al pi divrei ha-targum, she'kosav t'chiyas ha-meisim yiyah b'har ha-zeisim, she'b'yushalayim v'chal ha-kfurim sham yiftiri migilgo mechilois, dil ayin sham dvarim kedoshim. If so, if the whole reason to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, now realize carefully, nowhere does the Targum say that only if you're buried on Har HaZeisim will you have Tchiyas HaMeisim. He doesn't say that. He says very clearly, even tzaddikim buried in Chutz Aretz, they will pop through the crevice on Har HaZeisim. But instead of popping through the crevice, I guess it's an advantage to have already been there and to be there. But says the Shevet HaLevi, since the whole purpose of being in Eretz Yisrael is to facilitate Tchias HaMesim, if that's the case, the closer you could get to the ultimate destination of Tchias HaMesim, which is Har HaZeisim, L'chayra, that has value, but L'halacha, you cannot take a body out of Tveria, out of Tzvas, out of Chevron, out of Bnei Brak, and bring the body to Har HaZeisim. That is not found in the Poskim. But is there an advantage of being buried in Har HaZeisim? Yes. Is it worth the money? That's a personal decision, you know? By the way, if you want a spot on Har HaZeisim, speak to me. I got a call from the Har HaZeisim Society. They have good spots on Chalkas HaNavim. For excellent price, okay?
How much?
I can't say publicly. I'll tell you afterwards. Okay? So, is it an advantage? Shevet HaLevi says yes. Are you mechuyev too? You're not mechuyev too. You know, Rav Henkin said, maybe there are better things to spend your money on. But, you know, everyone has to make their own personal decision. But one thing is for sure, even tzaddikim buried in Chutz Aretz have Tchias HaMesim, but their ultimate destination, all... By the way, you know the famous maxim, all underground tunnels lead to Har HaZeisim. That's the way it goes, right? All tunnels lead to Har HaZeisim. Okay, but if somebody cannot be buried in Eretz Yisrael, so there is a minhag brought in the Ramah, we saw it last week, I think in Siman Reish Samach Gimel, that you put some of the dirt of Eretz Yisrael into the kever. So this is discussed by the Gesher HaChaim, where he... sort of challenges this custom. First of all, take a look at number 14. He says, many Erlech Yidin have a minog that they take a bundle of dirt from Eretz Yisrael and v'hamahadrin, dirt from Har HaZeisim. Now, don't think it's going to, you know, get you there sooner, but that's a minog. It's brought in the Ramah. Now, where do you put the dirt? Okay, nobody should have to find out. But the first spot is under the mess. And whatever dirt left, under the head. Now some scatter some of the dirt on the body, on the tachrichim, under the talus, and some even put it on the face, and on the forehead, and on the eyelashes, and on the bris milah. Okay, and that's brought in the Sefer Mavar Yabayk, that if you have Ofer of Eretz Yisrael, you put it under the mess, you put it on the bris, you put it on the eyes, you put it on the eye, says the Gesher HaChaim, but we're makbid that the clothing of the mess be pristine and clean and not have any stains on it. And therefore, most people only put the dirt under the head. There is still a minhag to put it on the face because of the school of Eretz Yisrael. And this is based on the Yushami. Now, we saw the Yushami last week. The Yushami says, Yushami's bothered. Why are you taking a mess, which is Tamei, and being Metamei Eretz Yisrael with a dead body? So the Lashon of Yushami is, since once it gets to Eretz Yisrael, you take dirt, you put it on the mess, and it's Mechaper. Says the Gesher HaChaim, Shkoyach, it's Mechaper. That's because you're being buried in Eretz Yisrael. But what good is it to take dirt out of Eretz Yisrael and bring it to Chutz Laaretz? That's mechaper. What does that dirt do? I'll ask you halachic shayla. You take dirt in a flower pot and you put it in America. You chayiv in shumas and ice rice? No. You chayiv, it's considered like planting in Eretz Yisrael? No. You take a boat, you fill it up with the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. The boat is docked outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's chayiv in Shumas HaMaisros? No. What do you mean it's the dirt of Eretz Yisrael? There's no such thing as dirt of Eretz Yisrael. We don't care about dirt of Eretz Yisrael, we care about where you are. If you're in Chutz Laaretz, you could have the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, you're in Chutz Laaretz. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, the question. Let's say a guy is buried in Eretz Yisrael and they took dirt from America. Is it Neskaper? Avada, it's Neskaper. In Hilchas Kvura, it's Neskaper in Eretz Yisrael. It's not Neskaper out of Eretz Yisrael. Hilchas Chumas HaMaisros, it doesn't go by the dirt, it goes by where you are. It goes by the Avir, not the Afar. Says,
if you take Chutz Laaretz and take it to Eretz Yisrael, then you're
Chayiv,
yes?
Yeah, you're Chayiv. You could take dirt from America, you take dirt from the five towns, even the five towns, you could bring it to Eretz Yisrael and plant in its Chayiv and Shumas HaMaisros. So it doesn't matter what the dirt is, it goes by where you are. So what good is it you're going to go to Har HaZeisim, take dirt, bring it to America? It's not doing anything, it's not Afar HaAretz. So the Gesher HaChaim says, but still, even though it's not the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, even though it's not really chayiv in Chumas HaMaisrois, and it's not considered burying in Eretz Yisrael. He says it could be, Eretz Yisrael is dependent on a combination of dirt and air. And if you have one without the other, you don't have the full Eretz Yisrael. Other, the segulas Eretz Yisrael, and the demonstration of your love for Eretz Yisrael that you still have, and it could be that it still has value. Hence the minhag Yisrael, that despite being in Chutz Eretz, it still has value using the dirt in Eretz Yisrael. So he says also there's a rule, you know, a Kabbalistic rule, a physical rule, a metaphysical rule. Everything always returns to its source. So if you take dirt out of Eretz Yisrael, it's like, you know, it's eventually going to return. So it's more like a hagasha, it's a minhag Yisrael. So be it as it may, these are some of the hashkafos, halachos about kvura be'Eretz Yisrael. And the objective is to stay on the outside of the Beis HaKvaras for as long as possible. And ultimately, a person should sooner or later, you know, make the decision where they plan on having a kvura. We see it to the Avay Sa'olam. This was something that very chashuv to them. And we should all be zoichet to the time of Tchiyas HaMesim, of Yichyu Meisacha, and to the Achris Hayom, of V'yas Gal Tzedek, Meher V'yaminu. Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.